What's going on, family? Welcome to Tariq Radio. We're live right now. Everybody hit that thumbs up button, hit that like button, because we're live right now, ladies and gentlemen, right here on Tariq Radio, chopping it up. We're bumping that Mink Slide. Y'all go get that Mink Slide. Go to Spotify and stream Mink Slide, or go to MinkSlide.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're doing our thing right now. We're going to talk about y'all boy, Biden, and his word salad with a side of butter biscuits that he's offering. We're going to get into it, man. We need y'all to hit that like button, hit the subscribe button, let everybody know that we're live right now. And don't forget, go to MinkSlide.com to get this new Mink Slide. We got that old school 80s vibe popping. Hold on, let me bump this some more. Come on. Get your Jerry Curl picks out. Get your Jerry Curl picks out, baby. Come on. Get your parachute pants ready. You got to have your parachute pants and your jellies on to rock with this. But anyway, man, let's do this. Let's take our quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen, while everybody's popping in the room. And we'll be right back right after these messages. Don't you move a muscle.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get the Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
Listen, are you ashy as hell? Do you have dry, parched skin? Does your elbows look like elephant knees? If so, you want to get your skin from crusty to lovely, go to ashkicking.com to get all the lotions, lubricants, and body butters that you need to get your skin in order. They got all types of health and beauty products, everything you need. They got incense, things to make your house smell good, things to make you smell good. So again, go to ashkicking.com. Again, that's ashkicking.com.
Are you looking to start your own business? Millions of brothers have turned to eBay to escape the rat race. Become your own boss and get the Power Seller Research eBook. It's a comprehensive, step-by-step guide that explains how to start an eBay business. The website is powersellerresearch.com. Again, that's powersellerresearch.com.
Stop overpaying for supplements. Static Supplements is your newest and best source for superfoods, proteins, pre-workout powders, and much, much more. The Static line offers all natural ingredients, lightning-fast delivery, and award-winning customer service. Static is also 100% black-owned and operated. Go to staticsup.com. That's staticsupp.com and see for yourself. Let us help you be the best you that you can be. Never settle. Never give up.
Children are influenced by many things in this world, and music is one of them. If you're worried about your children listening to music that promotes sex, drugs, and violence, then introduce them to Gifted and Lit. Gifted and Lit is an award-winning program that combines hip-hop and cartoons to teach children math, science, and language arts, and much, much more. Gifted and Lit also has an amazing new home workout program called Gifted and Fit. This program combines social, emotional, learning, and physical fitness to help families get in shape together. Order right now and use the coupon code Tariq to save 10% off on your next order. Go to giftedandlit.com right now and join the movement.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave an op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at oldgoonjuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground, so you can feel free when you out in the town. Old goon juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
You are now tuned in to the incredible, to the legendary Tariq Nasheed. To the left, to the left. On Tariq Radio.
Please wear your mask.
Oh, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. Glad to have y'all tuning in. What's going on, family? Right here live on Tariq Radio, I need you guys to hit that thumbs up button. Everybody hit that thumbs up button right now. Let's get those likes up and hit the subscribe button and hit that notification bell, because you know they play little games on here where they shadow ban folks and all that. So I'm going to need you to hit that thumbs up button and hit that notification notice and that bell icon and the whole shebang so y'all can get in on the game whenever we go live. So how's everybody doing? By the way, go to buckbreakingmovie.com if you want to see Buck Breaking. We're about to start filming the new film about the Maroons. We're about to get into that now. We're getting all the information together. And I've talked to several people who got a lot of new faces who's going to be in this project. So that's going to be a fun project to do. So we're going to get popping on that right now while I have a little time. We're just waiting on getting this museum thing popping. And with the museum, it's a lot of hurry up and wait. We're just waiting around, passing paperwork back and forth. So in the meantime, I might as well just be filming and getting stuff done. I don't like just sitting around waiting. But the museum is coming. We're still getting the paperwork and stuff together. We're still checking on a particular property that we are trying to acquire. The only person who's seen the new property is my dude, Willie D. I was with Willie D from the Ghetto Boys yesterday. We were kicking it, and he's the only person who saw it. I'm not really publicizing where the other property is because you got a lot of people out here who might try to be slick and do little saboteur type of things. So we got to be very tight-lipped about certain things. But I was with my dude, Willie. We were chopping it up in the car, and folks like the interview I did with Willie. It's on my Tariq channel right here, my Tariq Radio channel. People actually liked the interview and the way we did it. We just were just driving around L.A. chopping it up, and people were like, hey, man, this could be a damn show within itself. And when I was looking at it, I'm like, hey, that is kind of a good idea. We just do a show with me driving around with my folks, my people, or whoever, just certain significant people, and just chopping it up, interviewing them, and just, you know, them. We just sitting around chopping up game, and you're just getting to learn about a lot of people, man. That'd be a great idea. I know Seinfeld did something like that on Netflix with comedians. He was driving around in different cities with comedians. He did something similar. And I've done other driving shows with VH1, but just a show where I'm driving around just chopping up game with certain folks, certain entities, just doing interesting interviews. I think that would be a good concept of a show. Something cool, something kind of fly. I'm really thinking about making this a thing because it wasn't anything that was planned. We're just hanging out. We just happened to go live and people really, really enjoyed it. So that's something that I might look into doing as well. It looked very good, and yeah, that's something that I might look into doing. It's very simple to do. We just, you know, I'm hanging out with my folks, and we just hop in the car and just start chopping it up. Yeah. Somebody said, rolling with Tariq. Yeah, so we might have to get that popping. We might have to get that popping. You think? We might have to get that popping. But anyway, let's get into it, ladies and gentlemen. What we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about your boy Biden. We're going to talk about your boy Biden. Joe Biden has put out this jive-ass janky executive order, which is not really an executive order. It's a big bag of nothing. It's a big giant nothing burger. You dig? It is a big nothing burger, all right? And the midterms are coming around the corner. The midterms are coming around the corner right now, ladies and gentlemen. And they know that they don't really have any real significant black support. They don't really have any significant black support. And they have to give the illusion that they have done something or going to do something for black people. And they know they're not going to do anything for black folks. They know that. So they're rolling out the butter biscuits already. The butter biscuits are already flowing, ladies and gentlemen. And they got Negroes out here dancing already. There was one politician, some woman politician, I forgot what city she's in. And let me show y'all, let me pull up the screen. They got their Negroes out here. When it comes to us, when it comes to black outreach, this is what we get. We get, this is what we get right here. The politicians come out and then niggas got on aprons dancing like it's 1863. All right. So this is what they got for us. They got the politicians come around us and then it's all about doing the wobble and the electric slide. Here they have no other tricks, ladies and gentlemen. When it comes to us, it's always the plantation jubilee. Those 2020 midterms are coming around and it's plantation jubilee time, ladies and gentlemen. It is plantation jubilee time. Nothing tangible whatsoever. Just a bunch of shucking and jiving, and let's trick these niggas into supporting us again. As we know, since Biden has been in office, he has done nothing for Foundation of Black Americans. In fact, he has done nothing but shit on Foundation of Black Americans. But now they're about to bring out the butter biscuits and the fried catfish and the black eyed peas and a side of word salad. So now to give the illusion that they're going to try to do something for, oh yeah, the mammy with the bunny ruckus. Did y'all notice the bunny ruckus, the blonde hair bunny ruckus? We see that. Yeah, the 2022 midterms. I'm sorry, I said 2020, but I meant 2022. My bad. The 2022 midterms. So they're going to start wheeling out a bunch of mammies. You're going to see a bunch of mammies. You're going to see a bunch of gender divide nonsense. They're going to try that. It's going to be Mammy Palooza and gender divide nonsense. It's going to be the buttermilk bonanza. But Biden has put out a fake ass executive order. Ladies and gentlemen, this thing, as we know, is the typical joke. But here's the thing. With this janky fake executive order, this is it on the White House website. Executive order on White House initiative on advancing educational equity, excellence, and economic opportunity for Black Americans. That's a lot of word salad right there. All right. It's starting with the word salad. It's so much BS in here. I'm not going to really bother you with reading all of the BS. Let me just get to the bullet points of it. Oh, man, this is just loaded with word salad. And here's the thing. They monitor us on the grassroots here. They see what we're talking about. So they use a lot of words that they see us using. They use the word Black Americans over and over and over again. They thought, okay, let's just use the words Black American over and over. They say it like dozens of times in this executive order. I mean, they're just saying it over and over again. Let me look it up. Hold on. Let me pull it up real quickly. Let me show you how many times they say Black Americans. Hold on. So if you look through it, Black Americans, Black Americans. They just keep saying Black Americans over and over again because they know that's the language we're using now. We ain't doing people of color, minority, none of that stuff. So if you look through it, it keeps saying Black Americans. Okay. So, by the authority vested in me as president, by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, it's hereby ordered as follows. Educational opportunity is a fundamental element of American promise. The United States Supreme, I don't want to bore you, man. This, it goes into a whole history soliloquy about how black people are not doing as well as other folks. And over the course of history, Black Americans have helped build, strengthen, and and led our nation towards becoming the more perfect union. Okay. Vital contributions of Black Americans in the field of science. In spite of this progress, intense disparities continue to plague America's system, blah, blah, blah. Black students remain more likely to attend high poverty, racially segregated schools than white. It's the same old, all black people are doing worse than others. We know that. 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 All right, we know that, but they're going to just keep using Black Americans over and over again. They keep using it over and over again. They just go on and on about black people. All black people are just not doing as well. And then they slip in the trick words. See, I look for the trick words. They say Black American, Black American, Black American, and then they slip in the trick words. Hold on one second. Let me get to the trick words right here. Black students also face unique challenges at the intersection of race and gender. See, they do all that black talk, and then they slip in the bullshit. You see? They start slipping in the olives, because a lot of folks don't like olives in their salad. Then they slip in the olives in the salad. And here they go. Black students also face unique challenges at the intersection of race and gender. Barriers to equity in education can compound for black students who are also LGBTQ plus students, English language learners, meaning immigrants, dreamers, meaning Hispanic immigrants, and students with disabilities, white people who have little sicknesses. So they slip this in there real quick. So now, as we see, this includes everybody, okay? Remember, this jive-ass executive order, it includes everybody. They slip this in on top of all of the black talk. They black it up as black, and LGBTQ, and people of color. They had to slip this in. Family, we can't keep going for this. These folks talk to us like we're stupid, ladies and gentlemen. They talk to us like we're dumb. And also, when it comes down to what they're going to do, it turns into a bunch of intangibles. Then they really start using the word salad. Hold on, let me find some words here. Hold on. Hold on. Like right here. Hold on one second. One of the things they're going to do is monitor and support the development, implementation, and coordination of federal government educational workforce research and business development policies, programs, and technical assistance designed to improve the outcomes for historically underserved communities, including Black Americans. Oh, goodness, family. As always, we got to add everybody, and we're included. This is a lift-all program. Don't be fooled. This is why we have to read through the fine print. Don't be fooled by all the black talk. It's blackety black, and then underserved, including black. This is word salad with butter biscuits, guys. This is a nothing burger. But look, when it gets to the doing part, see, this is the thing that's very interesting. It gets into a bunch of intangible things. When it comes to this executive order, it's much different than executive orders from other people. See, when it comes to executive orders for Asian people, you start seeing dollar signs. It gets right to the point. You notice when it comes to an executive order for another group, it's not all long and drawn out. It's really right to the point. Asian people are harmed. We got $50 billion for Asians, and it's going to go straight to Asians. Afghanistan people, Afghani refugees, they're disenfranchised. We got $2 trillion for the Afghani refugees. It gets right to the damn point with dollar signs. It gives you a dollar number, a tangible number, and where the number is going to go and who specifically the number goes to. The LGBT community, they're disenfranchised. We got $70 million going to the LGBT organizations. It gets right to the number. It gets right to the point. Now, with us, when it comes to black folks, all this blackity black black talk, this is what the initiative is going to do. It gets into this non-tangible stuff, stuff that cannot be measured or quantified. What they're going to do is advance equity in our nation's schools to promote the economic opportunity that follows it. What does that mean? Here's another thing. We're going to increase general understanding of systematic causes of educational challenges faced by many black students. What the hell is that? Increasing black children and families' access and to participation in high-quality early learning programs. What does that mean? All of this is non-tangible. Addressing the inequitable treatment of black students and children, such as eradicating discriminatory referrals to special education. That's intangible. Supporting and improving data collection. What the hell is that? Ensuring that black students have access to excellent teachers. What is that? What is this? Enhancing student support services. What is this? Is all intangible. You can't measure this. Promoting positive school climates. Eliminating discriminatory enrollment. Breaking down barriers that impede the access of higher education. All of this is word salad. This is a bunch of nothing, y'all. This is nothing. Family, this is nothing. Literally nothing. This is literally nothing. This is nothing tangible. Working closely with the executive office of the president on key administration policy. This is nothing. Advise the secretary on issues of importance to black Americans. What the hell is that? This is a big word salad with nothing. No dressing on it, nothing. Family, you should be insulted by Biden and his bullshit administration. This is nothing but benign neglect, family. This is, it goes on and on. Family, normally when people are just talking too much, that means they're bullshitting. That's a general rule of thumb. When people are just kind of dragging on and on and on and on and on, usually they're full of shit. If you want to do something for somebody, you can just get it done within a couple of seconds or a couple of sentences or a paragraph or two. When it's a long, drawn out word salad like this, that means the words are there to just kind of fatigue you out. You're just going to keep on reading. And if you think there's a lot of volume in the executive order, that means there must be teeth to it. No, it's just like a salad. A salad looks big. When you bring a salad looks big. A salad looks big, but when you deal with the salad, even though it looks big, you put a salad on the table. Especially certain parts of lettuce, a lot of that lettuce don't really have too much nutritional value. It's nothing there. A lot of salad is just water. A few leaves and water. It's really, a lot of it doesn't have any nutritional value to it with certain salads. But it looks big. It looks like there's a lot there. Ain't nothing there. There's nothing there. See, we have to understand the game that they're playing right here. This whole benign neglect thing, black folks, we're going to have to call that out. We got to stop being afraid to say, hey, we need tangibles for foundational black Americans. We need it in the form of reparations. We need something specifically for foundational black Americans. No trick bag language. We ain't doing that special deal for the LGBT. That's a con game right there. Because, see, family, these Negroes in elected office, you know, they pay these Negroes to really be the Negro whisperers to deflect from issues of racism. Or if they talk about racism, they try to talk about it in the past or in the abstract. Or if they talk about racism, they try to include all other groups. they had Condoleezza Rice. She was on The View. She was on one of those shows. And she was on there talking about critical race theory, which I don't like that term. That's another con game term. But I want y'all to listen to her, how they get her to toe the line. They get their mammies to toe the line. And she was talking about how we don't want white kids to feel bad. Listen to this. Listen to Condoleezza Rice. Now listen to this. Hold on.
I grew up in segregated Birmingham, Alabama. Mm-hmm. I couldn't go to a movie theater or to a restaurant with my parents. I went to segregated schools till we moved to Denver. Mm-hmm. My parents never thought I was going to grow up in a world without prejudice, but they also told me that's somebody else's problem, not yours. You're going to overcome it, and you are going to be anything you want to be.
Okay, no, let me clear that up. That's somebody else's problem, not yours. No, their problem is our problem. No, white supremacy is our damn problem. Systematic white supremacy is our problem because we are the main targets of it. If you are a child listening, if you got a mammy ass parent or coon pappy, don't let them run that game on you. You are in a system of white supremacy, and white supremacy is our problem because we are the targets, and it's militarily backed up and systematically backed up, and they have made us the prime target of their racism. It is our problem. Just because they give you a job position and you have to sit here denying it, that doesn't make it any less of a problem. Just because they give you extra butter biscuits to deny that white supremacy is our problem, that doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. All right, let me play some more Condoleezza.
Problem, not yours. You're going to overcome it, and you are going to be anything you want to be. And that's the message that I think we ought to be sending to kids. One of the worries that I have about the way that we're talking about race is that it either seems so big that somehow white people now have to feel guilty for everything that happened in the past. I don't think that's very productive.
Oh, well. When niggas start doing this is a coon, cowardly thing where they try to put racism, white supremacy as something in the past. As if we're not sitting here dealing with violent, deadly, genocidal white supremacy right this very moment. We're dealing with it right this very moment. Family, right now, this very moment, you have police agencies around the country with card-carrying white supremacists in their mix. In fact, in certain police agencies, you can't even get on the force unless you are part of a white supremacist group. I live in LA County. You have white supremacist gangs. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is something that the police have told on each other about. There are white supremacist gangs within law enforcement, and these people have a green light to kill with impunity. Don't tell us that we're not in a situation of danger and that racism is in the past. Let's stop this game, family. Let's stop this game. Let me play some more Condoleezza. Hold on.
About the way that we're talking about race is that it either seems so big that somehow white people now have to feel guilty for everything that happened in the past. I don't think that's very productive. Or black people have to feel disempowered by race. I would like black kids to be completely empowered, to know that they are beautiful in their blackness. Mm-hmm. But in order to do that, I don't have to make white kids feel bad for being white. So somehow this is a conversation that has gone in the wrong direction.
Okay, so black folks, we can't sit here. Let's not talk about how our children get shot in the damn brains. If our children are out here like Tamir Rice playing in a park, our kids can get ran up on and get shot and killed with impunity. But let's not talk about that because the white kids who are the most protected people in this country, it'll make them feel bad. Okay? It'll make the white kids feel bad if somebody's talking about how their community going around killing our kids. How do gunshots feel from race soldiers? Don't that make black kids feel bad? How do black kids feel knowing if they go somewhere, they could potentially be a target of white supremacist race soldiers? How do black kids feel about that? Shouldn't black kids be concerned about feeling bad when black kids go to school and if they get into an argument or something and they end up getting arrested at 6 years old, or they get arrested for watching a fight that they didn't break up like they down there in Tennessee. Remember down in Tennessee, they arrested a bunch of black kids who were like 6 and 7 and 8 because they watched a fight and didn't break it up, and they arrested a bunch of black kids. Shouldn't our kids feel bad about that? Let's stop this game. And Condoleezza knows better. This is cowardly. And I don't want black kids to grow up to be cowardly. Do you know Condoleezza Rice? She lived in Birmingham, and I lived in Birmingham as a kid. But Condoleezza Rice, do you know it? She grew up in the 1960s. Her friends got bombed in that Birmingham church down in Birmingham, that infamous bomb that the Klan was behind. I think it was 1963, but those were her friends who got blown up in that damn church by white supremacists. So for her to sit up here and play this game, knowing how deadly systematic white supremacy is, I guess the bombing scared her straight. I don't know. But when she was in office, they kept calling her, they never called her Miss Rice. They were called, giving her nicknames, Condi. They never referred to other heads of state or other head political figures as nicknames. They didn't do that. They don't sit up here, talk to Nancy Pelosi, call her, hey, Nance. Hey, come on. Hey, come on. This is Nance. Come on over here, Nance. They don't say no Nance when they talk about Nancy Pelosi. They're up there calling her Condi. Hey, come on over here, Condi. She knows her mammy position. Yeah, there was a black girl like 10 years old. She drew a picture of her bully in Hawaii recently, and she got arrested. She was 10 years old. They arrested this girl for drawing a picture of her bully. Some guy was bullying her. She drew a picture of her bully, and they arrested the little 10-year-old black girl. See, black folks, see, we got to make noise about stuff like this. We got to stop sacrificing our children so that the white kids don't feel bad. Who gives a shit? There shouldn't be white supremacy. White children are the most protected people on the planet. White kids don't get in trouble. White kids don't get in trouble for shit. White kids go shoot up a school and get probation because they say, well, he had a bad day. He didn't get a nap. He was just going through some stuff. You got Kyle Rittenhouse, people like him running around here killing folks, and they're sitting up here treating him like he's a damn 3-year-old who didn't know no better. White kids get away with literal murder and talking about we don't want them to feel bad. We shouldn't have a system of white supremacy. Those same white kids they're talking about, they don't want them to feel bad. Those are the same ones who be on Xbox and PlayStation at 7 and 8 years old hollering about, hey, fucking nigger. You play like a nigger, dude. You fucking nigger. Yelling nigger, nigger, nigger over and over again. But we got to spare their feelings. What about your kids? I want black folks to get out of this thing where we sacrifice our children. We got to protect our kids, man. We really have to protect our children. And we got to be more vocal about when our children are being attacked, because black folks, we got this plantation mentality where they start harming our children. And he's like, well, damn it, we on the plantation. Massa do what he can to help or to take care of our kids for us. We hand our kids over to the damn state and let them do God knows what. That's a plantation mentality. We got to cut that out. There was a situation out there in Virginia and that we're on right now. We're trying to tackle this situation now. There was a situation where a white supremacist, and this is in Crewe, Virginia. This is way in the boonies in Virginia. This white supremacist was calling these black kids, and these are teens and they're underage, calling them all types of niggas. And he ran up on one and then he hit one in the face. And one of these kids started whooping this white supremacist's ass. And then another one jumped in and kicked the white supremacist. And they charged the white supremacist with a hate crime, but they also ended up charging the black kids who were the victims. Let me show y'all the video of this. Let me show y'all the video of this. This is in Crewe, Virginia. I want to say it's about, what, an hour or something from Richmond? But look at this. Hold on. Let me show y'all this, ladies and gentlemen. Real quickly. You may not be able to hear the audio, but hold on. Hold on. Let me get this. Okay, you might not be able to hear the audio here. Okay, so these are kids on bikes. The white supremacist, his name is Donald Derflinger. That's the name of the white supremacist who got charged reluctantly. They reluctantly charged him with a hate crime. They had to because he's on video yelling nigga, nigga, and talking about he's going to shoot the kids and he's threatening them. Okay, so as you're watching the video. Okay. So, he's talking about he's going to murder the kids. And hold on, if you're looking at the video right now, he's walking up on the kid, putting his hand all in the kid's face. On a side note, why are these kids dressed like the year 2005, like it's Cash Money? These kids, and that's a side note, I don't know why these kids are wearing all these outdated clothes. When I first saw the video, I'm like, I thought the video was from back in the day, but this is very recent. This happened recently, but hold on. So this is a teenager. This white supremacist is threatening him. All right. Hold on. And he's all in the kid's face, acting like he's about to punch him. And then he mushes the kid's face. All right, hold on. Then he hit the kid in the face. Then the kid lights his ass. Another kid kicks them. All right, he pushes his homie away, so he handles this white supremacist. He neutralizes the threat. All right. All right. So the black kids, they neutralize the threat. And where are my Virginia people? Where are my Virginia people? Now, all my Virginia people, isn't Virginia a stand-your-ground state, ladies and gentlemen? Virginia is a stand-your-ground state. Okay? So they pride themselves. If you're being attacked, you have a right to stand your ground. They love throwing that stand-your-ground stuff up. That's self-defense, ladies and gentlemen. As we saw, not only were these children victims of a hate crime, this was a violent white supremacist who threatened them. He kept saying he was going to shoot him. Then he hit this kid in the face. So this kid had every right to defend himself in a stand-your-ground state. But this little racist-ass town, Crewe, Virginia, they sat here and they charged the kids. And we were calling around. I've been calling all around that little hick town, calling the police station. They've been running us around. And they've been using the excuse where they were minors, so we can't give out any information because these are minors and, you know, we got to protect the name of the minors and all that old stuff. So somebody from that area, and I'm still trying to get the names of the kids so we can really see what's going on with the charges were, but we found out somebody there sent me a newspaper clipping of what the charges were. Now this is, check this out. Boy, if this ain't some I'm white and I say so. So, hate crime charge lodged in Crewe. Chief Ferrer, that's the white Cuban police chief, also said the two juveniles were charged with ancillary counts for their neglect to only use the necessary force to suppress the threat. This is I'm white and I say so. See, when it comes to these folks, boy, they pull out the I'm white and I say so law. Now, this is him. This is the police chief there. This is the chief there. He's a white Cuban. Al Ferrer. I think that's his name. Hold on. Let me go back to what his name is. Hold on. This is him. Alfredo Ferrer. And that's the number to the police department there. So he hit them with some I'm white and I say so charges. Now, beating this white supremacist down, for threatening you, defending yourself, all of a sudden they use too much force. Now, when it comes to black people and standing your ground, there's not enough force. You can use legal force, lethal force, I mean. When it comes to black folks, when you defend yourself from a black person running away from you, now if a black person is running from you, you have a right to use lethal force against that black person. You can shoot that person in the back and kill them. But when a white supremacist attack you, you can't use too much force on a damn white supremacist. Y'all need to be hitting that police department up. Everybody needs to be hitting that damn police department up. That's why I want to get the name of those kids. They need to drop them damn charges. They're not going to play this "I'm white and I say so" game. See, that's the problem. A lot of black folks sitting around here scared. Oh, no, we don't want to make no good trouble now. We don't want to call no ruckus now. You see? All that stand your ground stuff goes out the window. You can stand your ground, but you can't use excessive force when standing your ground. What kind of bullshit is that? Nah. The local people got to speak out more against that type of thing. You dig? But see, this is why it's very important for us to understand the game. And look, with that Alfredo Ferrer guy, don't let them use that minority thing, because they'll try to play, well, he's not a racist because he's Cuban and he's a minority too. And a lot of Cubans have black ancestry. That's a con game. Family, we got to stop falling for that con game. We have to stop falling for that con game. We sit up here and play the minority game, and then we let people end up stealing our history. We let people steal our history. There was an article that came out about Filipino history in New Orleans. Hold on, where is that? I want y'all to see this article. They're talking about Filipino history in New Orleans. See, this is this thing where they're trying to get all these other groups to elevate them to our level and give them the same equal significance as foundational black Americans had in creating the culture of these cities and towns and the United States. Look at this bullshit article. And I've heard this narrative too, where they try to give Asians equal significance in the culture of New Orleans. The first Asian American settlement in the U.S. is being washed away by climate change. The Filipino American communities are striving to preserve their history as the first permanent settlement. According to history, St. Malo was the first permanent Filipino and first Asian American settlement in the U.S. It dates back to the 19th century, when both the Philippines and Louisiana was under Spanish rule. There's no official document about the settlement, but the history been passed down through generations of oral tradition and articles. The settlement, hold on, came in the 1700s. Contributions to U.S. history. The Manila men and their families became an integral part of historic battles, as well as Louisiana's multicultural society. They took part in the Battle of New Orleans. They also revolutionized the shrimping industry in the South by introducing the shrimp dance, a method that separates shrimp shells from the meat by dancing on piles of shrimp in a circular motion. If they don't damn stop. Black folks been out there dealing with that shrimp. Man, please. Please. Black folks been out there dealing with that shrimp and that crawfish for centuries out there in New Orleans and Louisiana. The militiamen, they've erased the racial lines imposed by society. Stop it. Their contributions to the cuisine and architecture of the region persist in the 21st century, if y'all don't stop. Family, they got this thing where they're remixing our history and giving it to other people. They are remixing our history and giving it to other people. They find one Asian, just like hip hop, they'll find a Puerto Rican who was at a party in 1976 in the Bronx and say, okay, yeah, the Puerto Ricans, they contributed to the creation of hip hop too because of that Puerto Rican who was there at a Grandmaster Flash party. So Puerto Ricans we got to give them the title of creating hip hop too. It's that same thing. If there's a Filipino who ate a shrimp sandwich in 1860, well, we got to give the Philippines and the Asians credit for creating the culture of New Orleans. Give me a damn break. Give me a damn break. And black folks, this is why it's important to learn history and to respect history, because I saw a lot of younger Negroes talking about the Versus battle, because the last Versus battle with Big Daddy Kane and KRS-One, that was a history lesson. That's a master class on hip hop. That is a master class on hip hop. That last Versus, that's a great Versus because it is a master class on hip hop. If you want to learn the culture of hip hop, study that Versus battle. That was real damn hip hop. And we have a lot of young little disrespectful niggas who just don't respect anything besides nigga shit. Man, I don't like that. I couldn't get into it. I seen a couple of people talk like that, hating on that. And not all of you, because, you know, it was a great Versus and a lot of folks got into it. But you got a lot of these niggas who just don't respect the game, don't respect the culture. A lot of these niggas don't really understand the importance and the art and science of respect, respecting the history. It's very important to show respect to the history. It's very important to respect history because, family, there's a reason why some of y'all new little hating niggas, there's a reason why the number one rap album now is a motherfucker who got niggas popping Bucci in a video, okay? If your number one rapper today, right this minute, has his Bucci spread on his album cover, you need to respect some damn hip-hop history and see what went wrong. All right? I don't want to hear nothing from some of the new niggas right now when your number one artist pops Bucci. No, some people were hating on it. Somebody said, no, it's just their opinion. No, some people were just kind of hating. Respect history. Learn how to respect history. Because what happens is if we don't respect our history and what we created, people can come and co-opt it and put their own bullshit on it. Seeing two masculine men spit rhymes and respect each other while they're doing it, that's foreign to a lot of new niggas. You understand? That's foreign. So we got to understand history and not hate on it. See, this is why black folks, see, we got to learn how to pass down generational wealth. And knowledge is wealth to a certain degree. When you get knowledge, we got to learn how to pass that down and keep the knowledge alive. The knowledge of wealth or the wealth of knowledge. We have to know how to keep that alive so we can pass that down. That's why with black folks, we piss off a lot of the generational wealth that we acquire. That's why you see a lot of black folks who own businesses, and when they pass their business down to their children end up selling the damn business so they can buy rims and nigga trinkets so they can floss, and the damn business fizzles out after one generation. Whereas in the dominant society, they teach the importance of upholding the history, keeping the business alive into perpetuity. You see, we have to keep... We got to get that mentality into our young people, giving them the game so they can keep the business alive, keep the business going, keep the business accumulating wealth for generations and generations. That happens a lot. We start a business and then the next generation pisses it off. You understand? Just like with Bruce's Beach, we got to get back into that. I hope the Bruce's Beach family, they keep that wealth going on in the family now that they got that land back. We got to retain the family legacy. We got to have that mentality. Because what people are doing, if we don't respect our history, other people are going to co-opt that history, ladies and gentlemen. John Leguizamo, they had him do an interview talking about Hispanic Latino Heritage Month or something like that. And I want y'all to listen to John Leguizamo. This dude has remixed the hell out of Black history. I want y'all to listen to this guy. He remixed history so bad, the sister who was leading in this news story, even she had to lightly correct him at the end. I want y'all to listen to this. This is John Leguizamo talking about Latin American history and the contributions. Listen to this.
All right, my audience knows how much I care about amplifying voices who tell the kinds of stories you don't typically hear on the news. So for this week's essay, I turned the mic over to my friend, Colombian American actor, producer, and storyteller, the amazing John Leguizamo.
Okay, yo, I'm gonna give you everything you wanted to know about Latinx people, but we're afraid to ask in 5 minutes, because I'm gonna prove to you that being Latinx is a superpower. All right, how about this, y'all? That myth that we Latinx people just got here somehow is BS, because we are the oldest ethnic group in America, after Native Americans, of course.
What? What? He said Latinx are the oldest ethnic group in America after Native Americans. Family, Black people have been on this land for thousands of years. Black people have been on the, before anything was called Latin, before there was a Latin language, there was no such thing as a Latino. A Latino is less than 500 years old. There was no such thing as a Latino. And even when the Spanish came over, the Spanish brought Black people with them as interpreters. This is why we have to learn and know history. Even the Spanish conquistadors had Black translators with them, ladies and gentlemen. Why did they have to have Black translators with them? Because there were already Black people here. Hold on, man. I mean, he goes into some bullshit, dude.
Because we are the oldest ethnic group in America, after Native Americans, of course. And we've also been the largest ethnic group since. The Spanish discovered America. Well, truthfully, we Native Americans discovered Columbus.
Okay, so now, and this is the three-card Monty that they do. They'll claim Spanish, they claim white, and then they try to claim Native American. See, they try to play this three-card Monty game, guys. They play the three-card Monty game where they claim all of these different ethnic groups. You see? When it's convenient. They're real good at that. Then they'll claim Black when it's convenient too. Well, my abuela was Black, so I guess I'm Black too.
Lost at sea. And Columbus was what? On a Spanish boat and spoke freaking Spanish. Plus Latinxers, we're indigenous, so we basically conquered ourselves. How about...
Okay. So Latinx, they're indigenous. Okay. No...
So we basically conquered ourselves. How about that for a twist? Because American history is very twist anyway. And we've been here for 500 years or plus, because before that we were the great empires, the Inca, the Maya, the Aztec, and the Tainos.
Okay. Nah, well, those Tainos and those Incas and Mayas, when you go down there to South America, family, where I've been many times, and you start looking at them statues be having Negro features. They don't have Latinx features, guys. When you go down into them Bonin Pack and look at those Bonin Pack murals and look at some of those statues down in Costa Rica, these are Negroid looking statues. Some of those paintings are Black skinned people with dreadlocks. They're not Latinx.
And we gave the world the most important foods the world ever had. The civilizations were saved and made with our corn and potatoes.
Okay. Corn and potatoes. He's trying to claim three things. He's trying to claim Native, Spanish, and white. You see, well, Spanish is white, but he's trying to play all of these different ethnic groups.
We gave you chilies. We gave the world flavor. We invented chocolate.
Invented chocolate? Okay.
but we are also the only ethnic group to have fought in every war America's ever had, and we are the most...
Whoa. He said they're the only ethnic group to have fought in every war America has had. I mean, that's a bold-faced damn lie. Black people are the only ethnic group that has fought in every war. Black people are the only group who's done that. Black people. Foundational Black Americans. We're the only group that has fought in every war. Now, they fought against America, the Mexican-American War. Hold on.
But we are also the only ethnic group to have fought in every war America's ever had. And we are the most awarded in each and every single one of those wars. I'm talking about 10,000 unknown Latino patriots who fought in the American Revolutionary War out of a total of 80,000 troops. That means we were 1 in 8. Cuban women in Virginia sold their jewelry, their hoop earrings, their gold teeth to feed the patriots. General Bernardo Galvez had a ragtag army of 3,000 Puerto Ricans, Cubans, Mexican-Americans, freed slaves, and they kicked the British out of the South. Then-
Okay.
On top of that, Juan
Miguel. He throwing the freed slaves as like an afterthought. It was the black folks doing most of the fighting. Even when they were fighting the British and when the black folks were fighting Spain, it was these black maroons putting in the most work. Even down in Florida, it was the black people putting in the most work fighting off these people.
Medallas raised $2 million for George Washington from Cuba, Mexico, and Spain to help Big GW. So we, too, are the sons and daughters of the American Revolution. And that's not all. Don't go away, because 20,000 of us Latinos fought in the Civil War, the North and the South. You know how.
Yeah, he tried to play that. Oh, yeah. Y'all fought in the Civil War to keep slavery. Yeah, you fought to keep damn. Yeah, you joined with the white supremacists to fight against our ass to keep slavery going. Then he tried to kind of grumble under his bed. Yeah, no, nigga. Yeah, y'all did fight in the Civil War. Hold on.
Latinos fought in the Civil War, the North and the South. You know how we do sometimes. And we had.
Yeah. We do know how you do. Yeah. Lie and side with white supremacists. Yeah, we know how you do. Yeah. Lie your ass off and then side with white supremacists.
Heroes, Officer Felipe Pizarro from Chile, Puerto Rican, Lieutenant Augusto Rodriguez, the first Admiral David Farragut, then World War I. 120,000 of us fought in that war with more great heroes. Marcel Serna, who saved this platoon in Germany while being injured and being shot and got a Purple Heart. And give us props for World War II. 500,000 of us fought. And we have more unsung heroes. Luis Gabaldon captured 1,000 enemy soldiers by himself. Nick Lucero blew up 2 of Germany's biggest gun nests while maintaining fire over 3 hours. I'm not done yet and won't be until we're made whole. Gil Bosques.
And let me tell you something. This is another trick they do. They'll get, this is another trick. Peep this trick. When they talk about all of these Latin people who fought in the South during slavery, whatever, many of these were black people who just had Spanish last names, okay? I want y'all to understand that. Many of these were black people who had Spanish last names because there were black people kind of going back and forth from Cuba. There were black, remember, Puerto Rico was a slave colony with a bunch of black folks who had Spanish last names. So they're counting them too as some damn Latinx. See, they love mixing up bullshit. They're mixing in a bunch of bullshit. So if you get a bunch of black people who just happen to have Spanish last names who were owned by a certain Spanish slave owner or a white supremacist slave owner who had a Spanish name, hell, Aaron Lopez was a slave owner who was actually Jewish. And some of his slaves probably had his last name. That doesn't mean that they were Latinx. See the game that they play? Watch the little word games that they play here. When you don't know history, they'll slip a fast one on you. They got you thinking a bunch of motherfuckers looking like Pablo Escobar was out here fighting. No, it wasn't like that. No, it wasn't like that. And then when they talk about the Cubans, we're talking about the black Cubans. It was the black Cubans who were doing all the damn fighting. Okay, whenever they start talking about Cuba, they'll try to mix in it was the Cuban and the Mexican. It was the black Cubans doing the fighting. And even when we're talking about the Mexicans with Cinco de Mayo, it was the black maroons down there in Mexico doing the damn fighting for Cinco de Mayo. Watch the word salad that these folks use when they try to remix history and don't tell you everything. Just like Cinco de Mayo, it was the black maroons fighting in Cinco de Mayo. That's why when you look up videos of Cinco de Mayo celebrations in Mexico, you'll see a bunch of Mexicans in blackface. okay? This is why we have to understand history, guys. They are real slick with trying to remix shit, dude. Most of them were black. These were black people. They did not look like John Leguizamo, who classifies himself as white, as do all of these other ones. Yeah, Latino is not a race. See, they're playing the word salad remix game here, man.
Saved 40,000 Jews from the Nazis in France and churches, and they gave them asylum, 39,000 more than Schindler. How come he ain't got a movie? Well, you know why. And we've also experienced great atrocities in America. 6,000 of us were lynched, burned alive, and shot to death. Jim Crow laws in the Southwest said no dogs or Mexicans in public places. But our oppression is not as horrible as my black brothers and sisters.
Oh, Lord. Then he gonna try to throw us a bone. After all that bullshit, he gonna try to throw a bone at us. Nigga, please.
Some Mexicans in public places. But our oppression is not as horrible as my black brothers and sisters or my Native American cousins. But we are also the only people whose language, religion, and cultures were totally destroyed. But here we are.
What? 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 Really? Family, this is what y'all get for that black and brown shit, okay? This is what y'all get for that black and... Y'all play that black and brown game, and then folks turn around and just completely dismiss and disrespect the hell out of us. This is just disrespect. They're the only people whose language and culture has been erased? Really? Really? Hold on.
Horrible as my black brothers and sisters or my Native American cousins. But we are also the only people whose language, religion, and cultures were totally destroyed. But
this was him just deliberately being disrespectful. Dude, it was illegal for us to damn read, man. When was it illegal to stop a Latinx person from reading? It was a law that we could not read, that it was illegal to teach a black person to read. We had to create our own languages like Tut-Nice. We didn't get it from Spain. We had to create whole languages from scratch because it was illegal for us to read. What is this? What is he talking about?
But here we are, thriving and contributing to America. We had $2.6 trillion to the GDP. Our buying power is $690 billion. We had $215 billion to the US of A taxes. That's why being Latin is a superpower. Peace.
Now listen to the sister. She had to lightly correct him a little bit. Hold on.
John Leguizamo, you are amazing, and thank you so much for that. And as black folks who also fought in every single war, we stand in solidarity with you, my brother. Thank you so much.
Okay, at least the sister had enough guts to kind of, to lightly say, hey, you know, we fought in every single war too, but hey, thank you so much. Even the sister had to say something. The sister had to say something. But family, this is the kind of disrespect that we get sitting up here playing this black and brown, trying to include everybody in our damn history. Let's cut that out. Let's cut that out. That's why, man, I do these history documentaries. I'm big on documenting our history and us taking ownership of our damn history. That's why I cannot wait till we do this damn movie that we're doing now, so we can start setting the record straight on this stuff, man. Because these folks get real bold with the lies out here. They get extremely bold with the lies, and we sit up here letting them. We got to cut all that out, man. And we got to stop folks from trying to branch black folks off. And that goes to some of y'all LGBT Negroes, too. Because, see, y'all play this game where you try to get brownie points from white society being the eunuch mascot. And then when they turn on you, you want to cry racism. Did y'all see Billy Porter? You know, with this whole Dave Chappelle thing, a lot of the black LGBT people, they're getting their wake-up call out here. They're getting their wake-up call heavy. And you got Billy Porter. Billy Porter's out here. He criticized Harry Styles because they put Harry Styles on the Vogue magazine cover in a dress. So then he got mad. So Billy Porter, this is Harry Styles. They put him on Vogue with a dress on. And Billy Porter's out here crying foul because he's like, Billy Porter criticizes Harry Styles, saying all he has to do is be white and straight. So Billy Porter's out here whining, I made it possible to wear a dress for men to wear dresses on magazines. I started that wave. Here's Billy Porter. Let me hold on. Billy Porter argued that there was a disconnect in opportunities afforded to him as a black gay man and given to people like Styles. I feel the fashion industry has accepted me because they have to. I created the conversation about non-binary fashion, yet Vogue still put Harry Styles, a white straight man in a dress, on the cover for the first time. Nigga, okay, this nigga got his wake-up call. You didn't create nothing. They put you on there as a political statement against black society. They're using you as a mascot against black society, dude. You were allowed to get on those magazine covers with your dress on, dude. You didn't create anything. They just treated you the same way they always treated black men that they buck broke. They parade them around like a eunuch. There's nothing new about what you're doing, and they know that. Billy's getting his wake-up call. Now he wants to complain about racism, and the white media, they're turning on him. It's Billy Porter. He was like, Harry Styles isn't the leader of a fashion revolution, but neither is Billy Porter. Boom. Even the white media is turning on his ass. They're like, no, Billy, you ain't revolutionizing nothing either, buddy. I guess we're still not over Harry Styles in a dress on the cover of Vogue. The latest public figure weighing in on the musician's choice to wear both men and women's clothing is Billy Porter, and not in a fond way. I changed the whole game, Porter said indignantly in a recent interview, and then more directly taking a shot at Vogue. He doesn't care. He's just doing it because it's the thing to do. It's politics for me. This is my life. I had to fight my entire life to get in a place where I could wear a dress on the Oscars. All he has to do is be white and be straight. Porter is partially right. He's also wrong. Porter doesn't claim to own a fashion genre of fashion with a rich history led by other countless transgender gay people of color. That's a good thing. It's important to respect and recognize where the culture comes from, but also the changing and evolving to the needs of our times. Porter isn't the first celebrity to push the boundaries of gender binaries. So they're letting Porter know, nigga, you are a do boy. They're letting Porter know, Billy Porter, you're just a do boy for us, nigga. Calm down. You ain't got no power. See, y'all niggas, LGBT dudes, y'all sit up here with these white folks, and because you laying up here with your bussy spread, you think you got some kind of power over black society. No. You're just a mascot for these white supremacists. You're not a part of their community. You've always been an outsider, but y'all play this little game with yourself and you come running up in black folks' faces kind of wagging your finger at us because white mommy and white daddy gave you a green light. But understand, you're under the same system of racism. But don't you come around us trying to complain about racism now when y'all LGBT niggas were the main ones denying white supremacy. Y'all were the main ones denying it. Now, Billy Porter, I don't want to hear nothing from him, because remember when Billy Porter, let me play this interview. When we were talking about racism, this is Billy Porter. Remember, this was a couple of years ago. Well, like last year. This is last year. Billy Porter, when we're talking about racism, he's talking about black folks be acting like the damn white supremacists. This is Billy Porter.
Even deeper. This and is black people hear me. Because y'all ain't going to like this one. As a black queer man in America, my basic human rights have been up for legislation every single day that I have had breath in my body from all sides. And by that, I mean that the black community's relationship with the LGBTQ plus community is appalling at best and eerily similar to that of white supremacists versus black folk. Hear me, black people, and hear me well. I'm calling y'all out right here and right now. You cannot expect our demands of equality to be met with any real legislative policy and change when y'all turn around and inflict the same kind of hate and oppression on us.
Yeah, all right. Okay, well, don't come around us talking about some damn racism now. Don't come around us talking about what the white man is doing. The white man is taking away your little one hit. Billy Porter's a one-trick pony to run around here with dresses. He's a talentless hack. That ain't homophobic. I ain't got nothing to do. I could care less about this nigga's sexual preferences. Him sitting up here wagging his finger towards black folks, that's coon shit. That's cooning. Him sitting up here being a mascot for white supremacy, that's cooning. Him being a one-trick pony, his job is to go around here in a dress, running around here being a eunuch and acting buck broken and acting as a mascot for the white supremacist powers that be. He's a one-trick damn pony hack, no talent, can't act, can't sing. He's just not a talented dude. That's why they have to parade him around all the time in clown outfits. He has to become a spectacle. And then when they put a white man on here taking his spectacle job, now he wants to cry foul because he knows that he has no other job to do. Now he wants to cry racism because they're getting white men to do his spectacle job for him. Now, we ain't going for that, buddy. We good. Don't come around us talking about racism now. Remember, we the black people is the white supremacists of the black community. Straight black people. They love playing that game. But all of these other subgroups, all of these other people who want to be a part of the subgroup, hold your own nuts, man. Because see, Foundation of Black Americans, we're the main ones out here on the front line all day, every day, fighting against white supremacy. And then what happens is when these niggas try to make these little side deals and things flip on them and things don't go their way, they want to come back around to black folks, hat in hand, crying the blues, talking about, oh, Massa did me wrong. We needs to stick together. You see? When those butter biscuits dry up, then you want to come back around to black folks. Have y'all seen Stacey Dash lately? How she's been copping please, ladies and gentlemen. Have y'all seen Stacey's been out here copping please? Hold on, Stacey Dash. Hold on, what does it say? That's not who I am anymore. Stacey Dash, actress and former Fox News pundit, apologizes for her offensive comments as she turns on Donald Trump, quits politics, and blames the network for casting her as an angry black woman. Let me find the recent interview. Hold on. There's another interview. That's not the one. Hold on. Because now she's back on the interview trail. Hold on. Hold on. She's back doing interviews now. Hold on. 6 days ago. Yeah. Okay. So now she's blaming all of her cooning and mammying on drug addiction. Oh, I was taking painkiller. I was taking 80 to 20 pills a day. I was on OxyContin. She was on OxyContin, y'all. She's going on her tour now. Yeah, I was on Vicodin, and yeah, I was struggling with drugs. That's why I was being a coon and a mammy, guys. That's her excuse. Because remember, Stacey Dash comes. She's not a Foundation of Black American. Stacey Dash comes from an immigrant background. And see, y'all play that immigrant game where y'all want to get with white society. You want to start bedwinching it up. You want to get with Zaddy. And when Zaddy turn on you, you bring your ass around here. I was a Negro, y'all. It was the drugs. I was on the knock. I was on OxyContin. I was a drug addict. No. Going back over there. Go back to your OxyContin. No, don't come around here copping please now. Your mammying and your cooning didn't work. It backfired. Don't come over here now. Nah, we letting the non-FBAs, if you off code, stay, handle your business. Speaking of non-FBA, did y'all see that story? I think this is in, where is this? What city was this in? Where, in Philadelphia. Hold on, let me turn this volume down. In Philadelphia, hold on. In Philadelphia, this dude allegedly raped a woman on a damn train. This nigga raped a woman on a damn train. And hold on. I'm trying to skip these ads here. Hold on 1 second. Yeah, this Negro. Okay, they're not showing what I'm trying to see. Hold on. I want to show y'all the article of it. But yeah, this coon nigga raped a woman on a crowded train, which is weird. Okay, I can just show the headline. Okay. I just showed the headline of it because I wanted to show a picture of the guy. Man accused of raping woman on a crowded train was released from an immigration detention center. His name is Thiston Ngoy. Let me see a picture of this guy, because when I saw the nigga's picture, I knew he was an FBA. I immediately knew this was a non-FBA Negro. Hold on. Let me show a picture of this guy. Even the crime, raping somebody on a damn train. Yeah, that's some old thirsty ass bullshit, dude. Hold on. That's some thirsty non-FBA. This nigga right here, this goofy ass nigga. Hold on. This is this dude right here. Hold on. Okay. Hold on 1 second. This is the guy. Yeah, right here. I knew this was non-FBA like a motherfucker. So yeah, this dude raped a chick on a crowded train, and people are saying that nobody on the train did anything. Yeah, this is the guy. Yeah, this dude, and he was just released from an immigration detention center. He already had a criminal record, and he's from the Congo. He's Congolese. This is the Congolese dude. Yeah, he ain't one of us, all right? Yeah, this ain't one of us. Hold your own nuts. That nigga is not one of us. No. See, I'm going to separate them niggas from us. Y'all not going to let this nigga be a smear on the face of black society. That is not one of us. Yeah, even that type of crime, the most thirsty nigga crimes, nah, that ain't one of them. When I heard the crime, I'm like, nah, that ain't something that a foundation of black American would do. We ain't thirsty like that. Nah, we ain't that damn thirsty. Nah. Hold your own nuts. Nah. Because see, when if this same Negro got a scholarship to Yale, boy, there'll be there'll be Congolese flags all over the place. They'll be bragging about this nigga. Now that he did a despicable ass crime like raping somebody on a train, they want to distance themselves now and throw him on us and throw him on black folks. Nah, take this nigga back. Non-FBA nigga, take him back. He ain't one of us. Take his ass back. Do not put that nigga on us. Ain't Joy Reid people from the Congo? Ain't they Congolese? Ain't that part of Joy Reid's people? Holla at Joy Reid. Yeah. I ain't claiming no dirt bags from other groups. We already got enough funny style niggas in our mix. We already got enough funny style dudes. You think? We already got enough riffraffs. And speaking of riffraffs, y'all boy from Family Matters. Y'all do Darius McCrary. You had Darius McCrary out here with that Sydney Star chick, that trans dude, chick, or whatever y'all want to call Sydney Star. But he's all booed up with her, kissing on and hugging on. And Darius McCrary, he kind of has a reputation. He messed with a transgender person before, from what I understand, allegedly. He has dealt with transgender folks before. And so he did some kind of photo shoot where he was hugging and kissing and getting twerked on by this Sydney Star person. Hold on, let me show what's going on. So yeah, he's all kissing on Sydney Star and shit, and all right, nigga. Then he did a video talking about, no, they just friends and they ain't really dating and all this old stuff. And brother, if you got a hankering for bussy, you got a hankering for bussy, brother, damn. You know, hey man, live your truth. This is him. Yeah, brother, if you got a hankering for some of that Bucci cat, brother, do you, Eddie? Man, what was going on the set of Family Matters? All right. What was going on the set of Family Matters? Because y'all know there's always been rumors about Carl Winslow. For years, there's been rumors about Carl Winslow. Allegedly, they said, Carl Winslow, Reginald Bell Johnson, they said he had a hankering for pussy. I don't know. There's been rumors about Reginald Bell Johnson, who played Carl Winslow for years. What was going on the set of Family Matters? You know? A lot of these niggas out here are stepping up, and our brother, and Darius McCrary, he might be the nicest guy in the world. Darius, he's probably listening. I'm not shitting on you, Darius. If you like Bucci Cat, brother, you like Bucci Cat. Shit. It is what it is. I'm not trying to shit on you, but if you're all booed up with this person, and then you come out, oh, no, we just friends. No, look like more than friends. Yeah, it looked like a little more than a friendship going on. And there's a friend's package going on there. some of these dudes, they like a little extra. Knock yourself out, my nigga. But a lot of these folks who grew up in the industry, and Darius McCrary, he was a child actor. He's been acting for a long time, man. These cats out here in Hollywood, when they're kids, man, they grow up with a hankering for bussy when they grow up, dude. That folks, if you bring your kids out here to Hollywood, man, watch your babies. Watch these kids. Yeah? Because they grow up and they want to step up. There's a lot of confusion out here. But more power to you, Eddie. I'm not going to call that man Eddie. Darius. Let's call him by his name. We be calling people by their TV name. He is not Eddie Winslow. That is Darius McCrary. That is our brother Darius. Just because he got a hankering for a little bussy every now and then, that's still our brother. All right. Anyway, y'all, let me get the hell out of here, y'all. That's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. I got a new backup page on my Instagram. My backup page is Tariq Nasheed. Is it Tariq Nasheed 7? That's my backup page. And you can still follow me at Tariq Elite. But my backup page is Tariq Nasheed 7 on Instagram. So follow me on both, because they play games with my live. I can't go live sometimes. They block me from going live on my main page, but I can go live on my backup page. So everybody follow my backup page on Instagram at Tariq Nasheed 7, ladies and gentlemen, so y'all can catch my live grams. All right, y'all. Y'all go to buckbreakingmovie.com. Send our brother Darius McCrary a copy of Buck Breaking so him and Sydney Starr can watch that when they're at home doing what they do. Buckbreakingmovie.com, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to holla. Y'all be good.